So I am on my way upstairs to Shell Game Studios. Going heading up now. We are getting off the elevator. This is the studio. Not filming anything too secret, I hope. Secrecy. Games are happening. Hi, how are you? Hi, what's up? Hey, how's it going, folks? So we got somebody in VR right now. Sorry, I'm being nosy in VR with a GoPro. Cool, so I'm here at Shell Games. We're about to check out I Expect You to Die, first on the list of VR games today. So could you introduce yourself for the camera, please?
Sure, my name is Mark Tattersall. I'm project director on I Expect You to Die.
Awesome, great. So talk about I Expect You to Die for me. What's this game all about?
So in I Expect You to Die, we put you in the role of a super agent. And you're basically, as any agent would, you get missions. And so you go out on a mission, and in our first demo, you have to steal a car from the infamous Dr. Zor, which is flying in a plane. So you have to steal the car and drive it out of the back of a flying airplane.
And what tools do I have to help me with the car stealing?
So it really depends on the mission. It's up to you to figure out what tools you have at your disposal and what you can use in your environment to help you complete the task. We don't inherently give you anything except the ability of telekinesis, which allows you to interact with things that are out of reach of touch.
The ability of telekinesis is a pretty useful power.
It is an extremely useful power. In fact, on our demo version, because the demo is just for the mouse, it was the only way to really interact with things.
Okay.
Now that we have touch controllers, you can interact with everything in your immediate area, but you would still need a way for us to make interesting and unique puzzles to go outside of your reach. Not everyone has the same reach. It's a hard thing to design for. So in our game, you're given implants that give you a telekinetic ability.
That way you don't have to worry about the individual user's ability to reach over and grab stuff in the environment.
And it just allows us to make much more interesting and unique puzzles.
Cool. So what is the game developed in?
The game's made in Unity.
Cool. So it's a Unity 3D game? And how long ago did you guys start developing on this?
Oh, gosh. So let me give you a little bit of backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So we had made a demo a long time ago, I would say almost a year
ago. Yeah, I think it's about a year.
And we had put it on Oculus Share, which is basically just a spot on Oculus's site that allows you to post games for free.
Uh-huh.
And we got such an overwhelming response. I think still we have been, minus a couple days here and there, we've basically been the number one rated game on Oculus Share, and we've had over 30,000 downloads.
Wow.
So at some point we decided, wow, you know, this is a lot of interest, we should really just make a full game out of this, and we actually put a whole team together, and now we're in that process.
Cool, that's awesome. So how big is your team on this?
We've been working on the full game for probably about six or seven months-ish, probably.
How big is the team working on I Expect You to Die right now?
It fluctuates a bit. We have some people that are kind of part-time, and depending on where we are in the ramp, I think on average it's probably about 15 people, if you count everyone. And it's due to release probably summer-ish, is our current schedule.
Okay. And is it going to be just Oculus Rift, or will it be available on other platforms?
We are exploring the idea of other platforms at the moment, though we only have plans to build on Oculus Rift.
Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and give the game a try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sounds fun. And I'm just going to leave this pointing at the chair here so they can at least see me in VR.
I hope you slept last night, Agent, because we have plenty to do today. The higher-ups have noticed your love for danger and feel you're ready for a mission befitting your unique skill set. Namely, your apparent disregard for your own safety.
Like I said, it's really important that you're comfortable. It's also important that you can see clear. There's a few things we can do if your vision's a little bit blurry.
No, it looks really clear.
But I'm just looking here. You want small. All right, so I'm going to calibrate you.
All right.
So you can close your eyes if you want. Sometimes it's a little jarring. All right, I'm going to give you some hands. So this one is here. Yes, stick your hold here. Have you used these controllers before?
I have not.
Alright.
Now I've got
hands.
Ooh, neat.
Yep.
They're really lined up with my actual hands. Cool.
Exactly.
I have the ability to pick these up.
So I'm going to put headphones on you, and it'll actually walk you through a little bit.
This car has some of the most high-tech weaponry in Dr. Zor's considerable arsenal. Naturally, we'd like to poke at it a bit. This mission will afford you every opportunity to die in peculiar and interesting ways. I would say good luck, and come out the other side in one piece and all that. But to be perfectly honest, and with all due condolences, I expect you to die. I believe defusing bombs is covered in basic training, yes?
Stand in the teleporter. Turn around. All right. Use the trigger to click this button. Click. Oh, that's it. That's the menu button. Okay.
Yeah, the trigger.
Welcome to the Water Bears VR. If I have a portal here, that's great. Oh, just click it just once. Got it. Rather than holding it. All right. Place pipes in the correctly colored water to each thirsty water bear. So I've got a pipe here. That's the menu button here. Oh, that's where I get a picture. Oh, I see. Grab a pipe. Oh, I don't know. Let's try this one. Oh, neat. Wow, this is so cool. So I have like a palette and I'm kind of placing stuff from the palette. And I can twist it and turn it.
You can walk all the way around it.
Oh, there's more water bears on the other side. Oh, I didn't even notice that. Ah, I have to change my process.
Problem solving, as well as color theory.
You know, it's actually really beautiful to see the colors mingling and separating as well. It's really cool.
Did you try to play with the water bears at all?
Oh, can I play with them?
Oh, look, I can. Oh, they're floating around. You following my... Oh, I can pick them up.
Yeah, and you can throw them.
Oh,
where do I can tickle them.
Yeah. Ah, adorable!
Oh my god, he's giggling. This is the coolest thing.
And you put him under the water that's flowing.
Oh, did he like that? Oh, because he likes that his color, so he's happy.
Touchpad, forward and back, up and down, and tapping the touchpad.
Okay.
They operate. This is the back button. I don't believe you'll need it for this experience, but if they say anything about the back button, it's this one here.
Okay. So this is the third VR device of today.
And this is the most
Gear
mobile
VR.
Of all of them. You're not tied to a computer. You're not tied to sensors. Everything happens on the phone. The difference is, where the other two experiences can tell when you're leaning left and right, forward and back, where you can see at least where your head tracking is. This one has none of that. It only has rotation.
Okay.
It's like this way and this way.
Got
and
it.
This way. So when you move, the whole world moves with you.
Got it.
But for some experiences, that's absolutely fine. And including the one that we did
so
here.
This is a different experience with a different device.
But a much more available device. The Gear goes for $100. If you have a Samsung S6 or S7 phone, you'll be able to use a Gear immediately.
So I could theoretically snap my own Android phone in that device and it would work just the same.
If it's a Samsung S6 or S7, yeah.
I'm
going to
hit play. All right, there we go. So I use my gaze and my little touchpad on the side here to control this particular game.
Right. If your focus is blurry, because I have bad eyesight, the focus...
No, the focus is actually okay.
Okay.
I'm just looking around. I mean, okay. I'm basically in the Starship Bridge, and then I'm actually able to play the game from here. So I can select the game and engage. Oh, yep, and then I've got the console in front of me here. Liquid steak, space jumping from tower to tower with several prisoners. Bad news is my crew needs to refuel. Oh, that's okay. I rescued the prisoners. You're right, this is the away mission. Let's see how this works in VR. Myself is a red shirt. That is me. I am a red shirt. Good. Let's see if I die. Let's see. It's very engaging in VR, so it's interesting. And the irony of finding the one red shirt named after me and that being the first red shirt to die is always good times. So, what made you, what was the, it was just a joke, right? You guys decided to go ahead and put it in VR and it just seemed to be a fun thing to do? And
I think what happened was we made that joke and then over the weekend one of the guys put it into VR real quick as a test. And when he brought it back in, was it Henry or was it Anna? I forget who it was.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it was Henry.
Sounds like a Henry
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, we put it when they tried it on and we showed it around, everyone's like, oh, this is really makes a lot of sense. We totally should be doing this.
So they put it in
VR. So we decided to build a team and have the whole team put it in.
Is it widely available right now?
Yeah.
If
you go to the Samsung mm-hmm. Oculus store, you can get it for your Gear.
Awesome. How well is it done on Steam?
I don't know the numbers, honestly.
On Steam?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doing great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of good feedback. People are really enjoying
mm-hmm.
it. Have you guys had to do some balance tweaks on it? I know there was some questions about how hard is it, how easy is it. I think I played the very first release version, because you sent it to me before, and I played the released. Yeah. So has that been adjusted a little bit?
So since you played, they did adjust it afterwards.
Yeah,
they did a little
mm-hmm.
bit of...
Well, that's the upside of Steam, right?
Right.
You can get the
mm-hmm.
feedback, and then you can make a... You make a new build, and if you've already downloaded it at home, it updates
mm-hmm.
automatically.
And is this the adjusted version on this as well?
Yeah.
With the different balance, with the balance patch?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the beginning where you adjust it, like how many resources you get on the ship and everything, that seems like a new addition or a new-ish addition.
I don't really know. I never compared the two
mm-hmm.
together. I was not a producer on that project.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I imagine they did do some updates.
So talk to me about the environment, the room is created. So is that all like a Unity 3D environment?
Yeah.
created it there, and then you can click on the thing for your sponsors.
Right, right.
Cool.
We wanted to give the feel of being on the deck of a starship, even if it was a pixelated starship. Yeah.
Right, so you make the decisions on the menu, then you've got like your crew surrounding you.
Right, and there's some extra other panels over here and here, right, that give you a little more information as well.
Yeah, so you can sort of turn your head and
yeah.
see what else is going on.
Right.
So do you guys have plans for another game that you're going to release on the gear?
I don't know that we have. We don't have one in practice right now.
I don't think so.
We have many pitches together, and we're talking to many clients about doing other VR stuff, and we've got currently going right now one, two, three, four, depending on how you count them,
mm-hmm.
VR projects already underway.
Wow. So you're working with all the different VR units. Which one's your favorite, or what are the upsides and downsides?
Well, I like them all for different
like
reasons,
yeah.
right? I think that the... I like the portability of the gear.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for the
mm-hmm.
quick experiences, and again, even with its limits, there's some great things you can do with the gear and that portability.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the able to walk around the whole spaces.
Right.
But Oculus, I think, is going to have a leg up because it's going to require a little bit less, you know, less space, a little less power, but still give you all the options of moving your hands and your head and all that.
Yeah. So for the Oculus, do you think that since you're tethered a lot more closely, do you think a seated experience is usually the best, or have you experimented with standing up?
Oculus is only a seated experience. The Vive,
yeah.
the one that we had downstairs, that's the full walk around one.
Right.
That's gonna limit you to the tether, and you know the cord issue too. But again, there are a lot of experience that still leaves you a great deal of. Both of those will still allow for a great deal of variety.
And what challenges have you come across like with VR? Like, what are the? There's all
mm-hmm.
kinds of unique challenges. Like, what's a real challenge? What are the challenges you come across?
Not wanting to do too much is always a problem making games, right?
There's always unique challenges. Yeah.
Some of the things we because in the on a screen we know that the player's supposed to be facing this way, and then
uh-huh.
and you can turn your character around so that it's not completely tethered, but a little bit more constructed, and the
mm-hmm.
UI can be right there in your face.
Mm-hmm.
In a VR world, we don't know what the player is looking at. We can't tell where they're going to be looking. So,
right.
for example, in Water Bears,
right.
we wanted you to get to the portals. So we had to make the portals very clear. And we have you on that island, the nighttime island.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing you can do on that island is stand in that portal.
Right.
And that's on purpose because we wanted to teach you the very first thing,
okay.
how to move level to level.
Right.
And we didn't want you to miss that one tutorial.
Right.
And then in the full version of the game, not the demo,
mm-hmm.
The menu screen. You click it on you go to launch a level. They're actually in orbs that are kind of floating there. And you select
okay.
it; it shoots into the portal and makes the portal appear. So your eye follows that over to where the portal is. That way, you don't lose it because again, you could be looking in every direction.
Right.
So it's a lot more guiding the player towards where they need
mm-hmm.
to look when you need them to look. It's a lot of a challenge.
Because the interesting thing could be behind them, physically behind them.
They could
them.
Just be looking at the
yeah,
volcano behind
them
when you trigger something.
Or out into the ocean and
right.
just miss whatever the clue is that they need to
right,
see,
right.
so that's where you have to guide them back
right.
to the spot.
But we don't want to completely not let them look around. We want
right.
them to look around. We built a big world, big beautiful world.
And that's why you let
well.
The player choose when to move on to the next level
right.
rather than rushing them
right.
to the
right.
next level on your own. Okay.
And then those portals are also placed such that you don't, when you appear in the next level, you don't appear in the middle of a puzzle, right?
Right.
We have those designated spots. We knew not to put the puzzles where those portals are. So when
right.
you land, you're landing someplace safe. So
because,
like
I was saying when I was trying the demo, you know that in reality there's nothing in front of you,
but
you don't want to walk through.
Nobody
it.
Does.
That, yeah, that
you have to force yourself to walk through.
That
right.
spoils the, like, it makes you feel like you're interrupting the water bears
yeah.
in some way,
yeah.
so you don't want to do that. That's their space.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's cool. And you had that same experience. Pretty much everybody wants to be like, oh, no, I don't want to walk through that. That's there. That's physically in front
right.
of me.
And you want to do some, and we do some physics things, but we want to make the physics comfortable. Like
uh-huh.
the water bears, you see that they float around, and when you throw
right.
them, they're kind of floaty. Because if they were actually 100% real physics, it would seem less magical. We wanted it to be kind of
right.
like a magically, gravity is there for you, but it's kind of magically there for you, like a,
okay.
like a pixie kind of magic. So.
Yeah, it's a floating sort
yeah.
of.
Softer and lighter and those kinds of things.
And that makes it feel a little more special.
Yeah, like reality, but even better than reality.